Morning, everybody. Sounds like there's a few of you other ones who picked up the cold from family camp or thereafter. I'm hearing that a little. Hey, brethren, we got potluck today, and let's make sure we get some hand sanitizer out there. And it's great for the brethren to share, but let's not share everything, right? Days like today, we're glad we're not one cuppers, right, on the Lord's Supper. If we were, I'd do it. I'm sick anyway, so I'd be happy to share. But yes, and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 8. A few things, you know, the public reading. There is nothing of the word of the Lord that's going to fall to the earth. Brother, one thing you can take, and the only thing that you can take to the eternal bank, is that what God has spoken will be done. Great message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All sorts of great messages of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God says, and it's so. It doesn't matter the greatest power in the world at the time, the Roman Empire, they put that stone in front and they and set stones there and there's a seal on it and there are Roman soldiers guarding that to make sure that body doesn't come out. Guess what? That body came out. Because God had said it's going to happen. You know, sometimes we look at the landscape around us right now. We see the forces at work, these governmental forces, and we see that all these things that are raised up against the knowledge of God. We see the attack. We see the camp of the saints being surrounded. But brethren, I have read the back of the book. And Jesus wins. And when He comes, there are those who are with Him, the called and the chosen and the faithful. And we win. I get goosebumps when I think about the power of God's Word. He says, and it is so. His Word is going to be fulfilled. So let's make sure that we stand on His Word. Amen? You know, something else really interesting. Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. Alright, so you gotta, next time you read through Jeremiah, you pay attention to the Rechabites. God upheld the family of the Rechabites to prove to the nation of Judah that people can actually carry out the will of God. That families from generation to generation can be faithful to God and to His plan. Here's a guy that shows up here. You check it out next time you read Jeremiah. I think it'll encourage you and strengthen your faith, especially you who are parents. Okay? Good stuff. Alright, we're going to get to Romans chapter 8. I was thinking, I really appreciated all the assembly today, the Bible school class and some of that stuff, guys. You got to slow down. You got to think your way through it. And we do in that class. There's good stuff in there in the adult class. And I know that all the classes for the young people are good information being brought forth. I'm thankful for the stewardship, you know, that Will brought forth to us about reminding us to die to ourselves. And I'm thankful for the Lord's Supper meditation that Roger gave to us. You know, if I got that right, when we drive home today, take your hands off the wheel and the Lord will give you a quick trip to heaven. That's what I got out of it. I think He said that. But we know He's talking spiritually. And it's interesting because I'm one of those guys who's never really been in a wreck. I've been rear-ended a couple times. Their fault. Right? And the only times I've been close to getting in a wreck has been when I've had my co-pilot in passenger seat pretty much jump on my lap and hit the brakes for... Anyways, help me to make sure that I didn't get in that wreck. I thank you for my helper, my driving helper, Julie. Those are the only times I've been close to being in wrecks when she's with me. I don't know why it works that way. She loves me. Romans chapter 8. But, I was thinking, in all seriousness, during the Lord's Supper, I was thinking about what Christ has done for me. And He hasn't asked me to lose my own life. Well, I haven't done that first. He's a perfect example. He hasn't asked me to metaphorically here, take my hands off the wheel without doing that first. Jesus is a perfect example of total submission to the Father. Into the Father's hands, He committed His Spirit, didn't He? Obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Brother, I have, and I know you do too, I have the utmost respect for my King Jesus. He doesn't ask me to do anything that He hasn't already done. He's a great example. I will follow Him. I will follow Him to my death and to that eternal life. And I pray that each one of us here will do that. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise Your great, awesome, holy name. We're thankful, Father, for the tremendous display of Your righteous power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That He was declared to be Your Son through the resurrection. We're thankful, Father, for the sending of Your Spirit upon Jesus' ascension as He sat down at Your right hand and received from You, the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, that now You have sent Him to us. You have not left us alone. You have not left us as orphans. But You have sent the Helper to us. We're thankful for the message, Lord, of the Scriptures, the power that we see therein in the Holy Spirit. That truly greater is the One who dwells in us than He who is in the world. I ask that You be with me today, Father, as I preach Your Word, as we really consider how does a person receive the Spirit. That we would look to the Scriptures and that we would understand, Father, the means by which You give the Spirit, the means by which we receive the Spirit. And then, of course, Lord, our earnest prayer is that we would then be led by Your Spirit and walk by Your Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I meant to preach this a couple weeks ago, but I got carried away. And most of you are back. I appreciate that. Thank you. We've been working through Romans. We've been building, and I personally, guys, Romans chapter 8 is one of my absolute favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I know it's Kevin. It's one of his favorites too, the Romanators, right? He loves Romans 8. And it's great, man. It's amazing. I like Romans 8 verse 1. We spent some time on that. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a beautiful, liberating truth. To be in Christ Jesus and to not have fear of condemnation. To live your life with a clean conscience before God. No fear of failure. There is nowhere else you're going to get that. And you can pay all the money in the world. You can offer up the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your body, for the sin of your soul, and you're never going to get that. You can offer to God 10,000 rivers of oil. You can offer Him thousands of offerings of rams and goats, and none of that can ever give what Jesus gives to us. The law of sin in our lives, of sin and death. Every one of us that's accountable before God has experienced that. You sin, you die. You sin, you're separated from God. And that separation, it is, as we sin and we are separated from God, we become slaves of sin. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like to be a slave. I want freedom. I've wanted freedom. From the time I was a kid, I wanted freedom so bad. And then to sin. And to understand what it is to be a slave of sin. And to understand that only through Jesus Christ would be set free. They're beautiful. But I want you to notice, Romans 8 verse 1, that's only true for those who are in Christ Jesus. What's following? Why don't I just erase this? I don't know if this was a Sunday or a Wednesday, but I know I'm like one of the worst one-trackers in the world. It was within the last month, Elizabeth was laughing, and afterwards she was telling me there was some smiley face that was written up here on the board or something, and I just started writing my stuff. I never erased it or anything. I was wondering why everybody was laughing at me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a one-tracker, so if I forget to erase stuff and I'm just going over the top, hope you can stay with me. I didn't notice it until she said something after. I was like, yeah, I think there was a smiley face up there now that you mention it. But, there is a defining line in the Scriptures. And there are these two categories, and I am just going to write a few things up here, the lost and the saved, right? And let's just say for those who are outside of Christ, and those who are in Christ Jesus. And then, as we follow along, what I want to work on today, really, what I'm going to spend time on, is in verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Him. So, if you're over here, you don't belong to Christ. I'll just ask you a question. Who do you think you belong to? Hey, we already covered that. We've been through Romans 6. We were slaves of sin, weren't we? Jesus tells the Jewish people, He's talking to them, and these are some who believed in Him, or who believed Jesus. They weren't... But as He's talking to them in John chapter 8, He says, you are of your father, the devil. They were still in this section. They belonged to Satan. Doesn't in 1 John say the whole world lies in the power of the evil one? So, we're outside of Christ. We don't belong to Him if we're here. What I want you to notice is here. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. These people on this side don't have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And that's primarily what I want to preach on today. How do we receive the Spirit of God? Before I do that, just a quick review. These contrasting positions of in the Spirit or in the flesh. And that carnal mindset, guys, is deadly. If you are in the flesh, the Scripture says here, you cannot please God. You can want to. You can try to. But it is impossible to please God when you are in the flesh. I don't care how good your intentions are over here. I don't care how zealous you are over here. I don't care how much you're... We'll just put man's terms on this, how good your heart is, if you're over here, you can't, if you are in this side, you cannot please God. That's what the scripture says. And we got a world out here that's patting each other on the back saying, you're okay, nobody's perfect, we're all okay, God cares about all of us, we're all His. Hey, if you are here, you are at enmity with God. That was by your own choosing. You started, you were born, you were innocent, you were, God made you in His image according to His likeness, and you rebelled. You left the house. You said, I want to do stuff my own way. And you chose to be in enmity with God. Don't kid yourself about this. Don't let anybody lie to you about this. If this is where you are, you're in trouble. You all get to hear. That's where all the blessings of Christ Jesus are. That's where your eternity, you can be sure of your eternity. So, for those of us who are Christians, because Romans is actually written to Christians, isn't it? He's telling us, hey, where's your mindset? Remember who you are. You know, there's a verse from there's a song, Old Man's Rebel by the Imperials. I just really like this line. You know, the whole song is, I really enjoy it. We had it for youth camp a few years ago. I think it's like a 70s song. I was surprised how much the kids like that song. It's fun to have things come back around. But, you know, basically, if you're living in old man's rubble, you're going to die. If you're living as a new creation, and there's all this good stuff. But here's the line I want to get to. It says, deep within you there's a spiritual battle. There's the voice of the darkness and the voice of the light. And just by listening, you made your decision. Because the voice you hear is going to win the fight. You choose what's going to listen to. You choose as a Christian if you're going to follow the flesh or you're going to follow the Spirit. That battle is there. Galatians chapter 5, written to Christians. There is a battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. And who we listen to, where our mind is set, going to determine our eternal destination. And so, Romans 8 reminds us really who we are. It says, you're not in the flesh. Remember this, Christian. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen? Amen. Identity is the real issue. How do you see yourself? Who are you, really? We spoke of the mindset, and we looked at Revelation 13, and I don't think we ever made it to 14, but again, two groups of people. There are those who have the mark of the beast, 666, and there are those who have the seal of Christ written on their foreheads. Why does it have to do with your forehead? Because it's how you see yourself. It's what you think. I listened to a great message from my dad recently. Just listened to it online. It's entitled, The Battle. The battle for the brain is brutal. Guys, this spiritual battle that we are in, it is for your mind. And it is a brutal, brutal battle. Satan, that supernatural evil that Mr. Simpson mentioned, he is there to take you down. And he is not going to rest here. Misery loves company. And he wants you to suffer with him. He knows that last person becomes a Christian, his eternal fate is sealed. He's thrown into a lake of fire, and he has put up all the resistance he can to keep that from happening. So, make sure we're sealed with Christ on our forehead. Just think about Jesus really quickly. Just go with me to John chapter 8. Jesus being that example, he showed us. In John 8, verse 23, I just want to give you a little window into what this mindset on the Spirit looks like. In John 8, verse 23, Jesus was saying to them, you're from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. You ever wonder why people think you're crazy when you're a Christian? Because we are on two different planets, man. You're from below, and I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm saying that if Christ is in you, we are two different places. The people that are around us that are in this, and we're not. Jesus says he didn't come to judge; he came to save. But he's telling the truth here. He says you're from below. You're from this world. I'm from above. Guys, if you've been born again, you've been born from above. That's the literal there in John chapter 3. Been born from above. And Jesus had a clear mindset. Go to verse 29. Jesus says, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him." This the mind set on the Spirit. What does God want? Jesus understood, I'm not alone. Hey, isn't that true for us? Jesus, I mentioned that actually in my prayer to the Lord today. He hasn't left us alone, has he? He's sent a helper for us. But there is this big word that I forgot to write on the board that we could put right up here. If. This is true. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. Jesus is confident. Father, you haven't left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing in your sight. This was the mindset of Jesus while he was on this earth. I was thinking about that. 60,000 thoughts a day, 33 years, and never once did Jesus surrender one of those thoughts to the enemy. That's called mindset on the Spirit. Amen? God says, hey, this is who we are. So we've talked about some of those deeds of the flesh. I'm going to veer off for just a second here. I don't think I'm going to get to what I really want to preach on. I just can't do it justice in the time, but we might start it today. But I want us to think about it because, brethren, most of us here, we are Christians. Not all of us, but most of us here, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we got to remember that. And there's a reminder. There's my boys are old enough that there's times we have conversations and they ask me something, or maybe there's a certain scenario and I'm like, you know who you are. You know who you are. Go prove it. That's all I have to say. They know what that means. There's a mindset, there's a character, there's a toughness, you know who you are, go do it. Then the Lord, we're His children, right? And we're growing up, and so some of us hopefully are on our spiritual journey far enough, that's all the Lord has to do is you know who you are. Go do it. You got the Spirit inside you. Go prove it. But, and so I think our desires are good, and they're not set on the flesh, but I want to just talk for a second about, we think of the flesh as all of these bad things. And typically, that's the way the Scripture uses it. But you know, sometimes there are things that from the world's perspective are good things, but they're still not the best things. They're still not really the spiritual things. You know, something really destructive happened at the beginning of the 20th century. The churches, and I'm talking about Protestant denominations, by and large, they bought into this, they bought into the higher criticism of the Scriptures. And basically bought into the idea that the Bible isn't really what it claims to be. And not really the Word of God. It really, like Isaiah wasn't really all written by Isaiah. Guys, I'm going to give you a hot tip here. Be careful what you watch. You watch stuff, you believe it. Be careful what your kids watch. They watch stuff, they believe it. There's a series out called the Bible series, and it's kind of interesting, but you be careful because they sneak in this kind of false thinking. They'll put Isaiah as a living prophet during the time of Cyrus the Great. That's not true. What I'm saying is, there's different... I'm not veering off on all that. I'm just saying, be careful. Most of us have had it proven to us. We've checked it out ourselves. We know the Bible's the Word of God. If you haven't, and you don't know that, please talk to me afterwards. I'd be more than happy. Nothing I'd rather do than sit down and go through logically how we know this thing is legit, how we know this is the Word of God. Okay? So, but shifting back to us, you know, we believe this. We understand the Word of God, and we want good things. But that, with that shift in the denominational thinking, the gospel of Jesus Christ was traded for something called the social gospel. We're not going to talk anymore about sin and forgiveness of sins. We're not going to talk anymore about heaven and hell. We're not going to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk, just leave it at the social side of things. Do good to the poor. Okay? Share with the poor. Do good to those around you. Those are true things that the Scripture talks about. But brethren, ultimately, you can only really do good to the poor if you've been born again. I mean, really. I'm not talking about the, hey, pat me on the back and notice the charity I've done. Because that's a lot of that stuff. I'm talking about legit. And if you're really going to do what's good for somebody, you're going to share with them about the thing that matters most. Jesus would say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You can take the poorest man and you can make him the richest man in the world. Jesus says, what does it profit him if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's one thing that really matters, and that's somebody's eternal salvation. And the early 1900s, and so for 100+ years, all the mainline Protestant denominations have ceased to preach what the Scripture says about sin and salvation. And certainly haven't talked about the Holy Spirit. And they've talked about the social gospel. We ought to be careful, because sometimes we're more influenced by that, because it's fleshly. And what I mean by that is you can easily gauge that. You can look at your checkbook and you can see what you gave. You can feed somebody who is without food and you can see that and you can say, hey, I did something good. And I'm not saying that, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The Bible talks about those things. As Christians, we should do those things. But that, it overflows from who we are. It's not the gospel. Okay, go with me to Mark chapter 1. Just hopefully I can clear this up for you. And the reason I bring this up, brethren, is I think we do have to be a little careful. You know, Jeff Bisco and I are, Lord willing, going to the Philippines here, 22nd of September, and we're going to be gone for a while. And, you know, the primary purpose in which we're going with Jeff's nonprofit, he starts, is humanitarian, is what we're going to do, humanitarian work, and then follow up with some of the brethren who are already Christians there, but primarily we're going there, humanitarian work, to try to get some new things open. And that's a good thing. But I've noticed it, even in the body of Christ, we gotta be careful, because I've noticed sometimes the push for the humanitarian work, that becomes the focus, rather than remembering its purpose. You know, Mike Harbour was talking about somebody at family camp who, you know, was disabled and had to scoot across the floor, you know, to be able to get outside and to get to the bathroom and scoot on their behind out the, and hey, let's be honest with that. That is really sad. But I'm gonna ask you a question. Can you see people's spirits that are all twisted up and they can't spiritually stand up? If we're talking about what is eternally important, which one of those things matters more to God? If you help that young lady, which is great, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that as a Christian, it needs to be for a purpose. You can help that person, but if you don't help them make it to heaven, you didn't change anything. Or do we need to remember what hell is like? I'm not preaching on that today. I don't have time to. I'm not even close to getting to where I wanted to start from. So, I don't have. But just think about eternity in a lake of fire. Eternity away from the presence of God. without God. No hope of ever having a relationship with God. That's what matters. Amen? We talk about, you know, we've been praying, and it's amazing to me, and I'm thankful. The number of people that have prayed for Alan Calloway. I'm thankful for that. And for the Stone family, I think particularly, brother, we're going to continue to pray because that has spiritual ramifications. But I want you to think about this for a second. Where's Alan? No matter what, he's with the Lord, isn't he? Now, I'm not downplaying this, but I am saying, let's put this stuff in the right perspective. He is with the Lord. If he quits breathing right now, there's no question where he's going to spend his eternity. What about some of the young people that we know that are separated from God? They're taking a course in their lives. They are on the path of destruction. Can we pray for them? Do you understand what I'm saying here? The Lord wants us to remember the Spirit stuff is what really matters. And even when we think about things that are good, if it's still from a fleshly perspective, we're missing the more important, aren't we? The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. We want to be people whose mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Do you not know? You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Did I ever read Mark 1? Oh, sorry. Just so you guys know, I'm not just pulling this stuff out of my own hat here. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. And Jesus healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also. For that is what I came out for." Jesus' purpose was to preach the gospel. He did those other things to prove that what he said was true. He did those other things to open doors for the real spiritual, eternally important matters. You can even think, go into Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, there's a guy who's paralyzed, right? Who's lame. A paralyzed man. His four friends, they bring him to Jesus for Jesus to heal him. And the place is packed and they can't get in there. So they climb up on the roof and cut a hole in the roof and drop him in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and Jesus seeing their faith. That's the faith of his buddies. These guys had faith. And Jesus looks at the man and he says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And you know what transpires, most of us do. The front row guys are like, "Who does this guy think he is? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But I want you to just think with me for a second. Jesus asks a question. He says, what's easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier to say, pick up your bed and walk? Jesus did not ask what's easier to do. He said, what's easier to say? Anybody can say your sins are forgiven. But the tougher thing to do is to forgive sins. It's tougher to forgive sins than to heal a paralyzed man. Jesus says, "So you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, pick up your bed and walk." And the guy did it. Jesus was proving his authority on earth to forgive sins. The spiritual is what was foremost in Jesus' mind. Well, we've been tremendously blessed by God here. And I love you guys, and we have great fellowship, and we have a great, you know, I think the motives of the brethren here are great. And I'm looking forward to potluck and eating with you guys and seeing who brought what and trying different stuff. But let's remember what we're here for. Jesus always had a picture in his mind. He knew this line was right in front of him all the time of where people were at. And he knew the goal. His purpose for every single person that he came into contact with is to do what he could to help them to move to here where their spiritual eyes could be open for eternity. Our mind set on the Spirit says this. These are the things that we think about. This is what matters. All the other stuff that we do, and we all got a lot of stuff to do, and we don't want to shirk those responsibilities, but we need to remember the purpose of all of that is to help open people's minds so they can be moved from here to there. I was going to preach about how we received the Holy Spirit today. I really was. And I just didn't get there. Lord willing, next week, you be back. I do plan on following my notes a little better. Gerald and Janice and Sam, too. You guys should help you. And we'll talk about that. But the mindset on the Spirit, it's important. And I just want to close reminding us what God says. You are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, hey, you know who you are. You know who you are. Go prove it. But stand.